Yeah, sorry, I'm staying next to a highway, so if you guys hear loud motorcycles, and I also have the shittiest microphone in the world for this episode, so...
Todd's on the Fed mic. Todd's got that NSA mic.
It's a gamer headset, but it's like, it's a cheap gamer headset, so it doesn't have like neon plastic accents. It just looks like I work in a call center.
No, well, I was kind of thinking with the two big over ears with the gamer mic coming off of it, you kind of look like you're about to start like a Twitch debate bro channel.
Okay, guys, fastest time to get banned from Twitch for saying the gamer word.
Speedrun. <Yeah. laughs> Todd had one phone call and he's like, how long can the phone call be? And the cops were like, well, technically, if your friend doesn't hang up, it can be at least an hour. So he was like, all right, great. And he called into the pod. So no cuts, no second chances that we're going to do this live. And if you hear Todd being dragged away at the end, you'll know why.
Have you guys seen those esoteric speedrun YouTube videos? Like fastest time to be called a slur on Call of Duty?
Yeah. Well, there's like really normal ones that are super basic that are like Minecraft has a lot of these where it's like fastest time to build an L. And you just have to build an L out of blocks, and then
it's like 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's like so fast. But then there's other ones where it's more conditional like that. It's like you have to like fool someone on a server into thinking you're a YouTube celebrity, or you have to like get called a name or whatever. Like those are really, really fucking funny. Those remind me of like those prop bets everyone's talking about where they're like, will the ref be wearing Hanes or Fruit of the Loom? $20.
It's always
prop bets own. I mean, they're very stupid because it's like you're gonna lose your money almost certainly, but it's so funny to be like have 1 in 5,000 odds of something hitting, and then you could just like bet 10 cents and make $100 or something.
Well, just like everything, the corporatization of betting is really what did it, because I think prop bets were probably super cool back when it was just like a verbal agreement between two dudes standing next to each other at a sporting event.
Speaking of bets, did you guys see that guy who like borrowed 10 grand from his girlfriend, put it on the Kentucky Derby, won like millions of dollars, and just gave 10 grand back to his girlfriend?
Oh my God.
Fucking king shit. Like,
that's hilarious.
There's nothing more king shit than like borrowing money from your GF and then risking it all gambling.
Successful gambler BF borrows money from you, returns same amount of money once rich. It's hot chip lies.
Maybe he had plans to return it in like installments if he lost. You know, he was like, well, I'm just gonna take a cut of my paycheck every week and give it back to her until it's all paid off.
I think I saw
a documentary about that. It was starring Adam Sandler.
Click.
Uncut Gems.
Waterboy, right?
8 Crazy
Nights.
That
was a documentary. What's the one? 50 First Dates. That's the
one. Oh, my God.
He keeps
on.
Yeah, he pretends he has memory loss. So he's like, 10 grand? I don't owe you any 10 grand. What are you talking about?
What if it's like 50 First Dates, Adam Sandler pretending he has memory loss, and he keeps telling his wife, he's like, I forgot what your tits look like. I need you to help me. Remember.
I've never seen that movie. That's what happens, right?
Yeah. That seems like it would be like pretty on brand for like an Adam Sandler moment. It's so funny that he became a serious actor. I remember like way back in the day going to the theater with some friends. We didn't even know what we were going to see. We just had a theater we liked. And we go to the theater and we're like, what's playing? And there's this poster for Spanglish. And we're like, oh, Adam Sandler, this will be hilarious. That's not a funny movie.
I've never seen it. From the title, it does sound pretty zany, though. I'm surprised to learn that it wasn't funny.
No, it's a romantic drama. It's a straight up romance.
Disgusting.
And all of the drama is about the relationship, too. There's like no gunfight or car chase or anything.
If there's no slapstick or explosions, I don't fucking want to watch it.
Yeah, well, that was what like Uncut Gems got right? Was if you want like a goofball like Adam Sandler to be like a compelling figure, you have to put him in an insane world in which he's like a weird guy. You can't put him in an insane world where he's a relatable guy. That doesn't make any
fucking
sense.
He's at his best when he's playing a weird little guy.
Yeah.
That's what's so good
about a weird little guy who busted down sexually.
That's right.
That's what's so good about Uncut Gems is that he's basically the same character he is in like Happy Gilmore or whatever other like goofy comedy. Like he's just a maniac who ultimately is very dumb, who is causing tons of mayhem for the people around him. It just is like played completely straight and has consequences, unlike those other movies.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about different ways to make some money on the side before we started recording. And I wanted to tell you a little story about a guy that I met while I was doing my job today. So I'm at my first stop. I'm actually stocking my first machine of the day. And this really big dude. We got some real big guys in Michigan. He's tall, he's wide, he's everything. He's large, he's got a huge beard. He comes up to me and he's like, "Hey boss, do you know if that card reader's any good? I got a vending machine and I'm pricing out card readers for it."
Okay.
And I'm like, "Dude, you work at a milk processing plant. You have a vending machine?" We talked about it for a little while and he was like, "Yeah, they want to charge a fee. They're charging me $400 and they tell me if I bought 100 of them, they'd only charge me $250 what? Each. It's insane." And I'm like, "Yeah, most people don't operate one vending machine." Most people start a company. And then I got to thinking about it.
I think that's a TikTok hack, right? You see the TikTok videos where it's like, "Oh, start a successful business. Just buy 30 vending machines, stock them with like dollar store chips, and then collect the money." It's like, yeah, that there's a lot involved in that.
There is. We have like at my job, there's like warehouses and maintenance staff, and you know, it's not just a route driver who goes around and does everything. Like, there's a whole crew of people to it. But it did kind of get me thinking, like, if you priced it out and if there was no CEO or management structure skimming off the top, if you wanted to just operate, let's say, a dozen vending machines, you would have a really easy route every week. And yeah, you would have to do your own ordering. You'd have to do your own maintenance and everything. But you could probably make, I don't know, like $1,000 a week pretty easily with a dozen machines. The real question is, where are you going to put them? Because if you don't have like a big, nice looking company, the local school isn't going to ask you to put it in the teacher's
lounge. Yeah, you need permission.
You know? Yeah.
You know, just a random vending machine shows up, you know, unannounced in like a weird place. You know, you could actually, what would be cool is if you like went on like Bureau of Land Management land and like carved out a rock face on a trail and put a vending machine up there powered by solar panels.
Yeah.
And it's like, "Oh, we're like 70 miles from the nearest civilization, but there is this Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace vending machine stocked with hot Cheetos right here that's inexplicably turned on."
You're raising a really interesting, you're making a really interesting reference to me, which is both vending related and Mount Washington, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania related.
The best vending machine I've ever seen.
That fucking vending machine has been making the rounds again on Twitter, and me and everybody else who's ever taken a photo in front of it are just hanging out in the replies like, "Yeah, I used to live there."
That can't be the only one, right? I mean, Pepsi had to have made a bunch of those vending machines.
Yeah. I just don't know how many survived. I think someone did post a photo in the replies and they were like, "We have one out here." I think it was somewhere out kind of west, like Iowa or Nebraska or something like that. They're like, "My local VFW has one that hasn't changed since the early 2000s.
I love Midwest cultural relics, like an old vending machine. Because, I mean, you can just change the marquee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you just show up and slide a new thing into it. So it's weird because, like, it kind of means that like it hasn't been serviced in a long time, but the one in Mount Washington actually is serviced. It just has non-standard stuff in it. Like, I think the buttons say like grape, cherry, twist, you know, it's not like Pepsi products. So what that says to me is that like that machine was put there by a company that maybe went out of business or something and didn't collect their machine. And then it's next to a fire station. So what I'm thinking is the fire station probably just kind of took it over. Like,
your vending machine has been collectivized.
Yeah. Just busted in and replaced the lock or something.
Oh, that'd be awesome. If it's just like abandoned ware, basically. And then they're like, "Well, we'll just pop our own sodas in here. But otherwise, Oh, wow. John, did you know you show up on the search results if you look up Star Wars Episode 1 vending machine on Google? Yeah, yeah. And you're like in the second row. It's one of your tweets.
That's so fucking funny.
That's awesome.
Oh, I'm finally trending in a Google search result. That's what I'm fucking talking about.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there I am.
Yeah, you're like right there. Right near the top.
And it's literally linked to the it's literally linked to the butthurt Pepsi reply where they said, "You literally took a photo in front of a Pepsi machine after I tweeted silence brand at them."
Oh, hell yeah. It has two
this
likes.
This is so wizard. I feel like that's exactly what a brand would say. Like they're trying to appear hip, so they're using a non-standard adjective word.
I think it's a reference to one of the Star Wars movies. I think Anakin calls something wizard at some point. Because I was asking about this too, and someone explained it to me, and I was like, "That's cool, man." I never paid attention for more than 20 minutes of a Star Wars movie.
Could not give less of a shit.
Everyone's like, "Can you believe the Senate? What? The Senate could never." And I'm like, "I don't know anything about the fucking Senate. You want me
to
learn
Star Wars
politics?
Galactic Republic Senate has overturned the Supreme Court's decision on Roe v. Wade. Now do you care about the Star Wars extended universe?"
No, I was 10 and I wanted to watch people fight with laser swords and they barely did. It's boring as shit.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying. Like, I never paid attention to the plot of Star Wars. My friends would be like, "You want to play Star Wars?" And I'd be like, "Yeah." And we'd pick up some sticks and we'd hit them together and, you know, you make the whooshing sound, like, and then he'd be like, I'll be Dingleberry McFartface and you be Hans Grebo. And I'm like, what is that?
That the guy that you ran into that runs a vending machine as a side gig reminds me of those guys like hustle and grind guys on social media who will make like a Twitter thread basically being like, "Okay, you buy tomato seeds, you buy soil, you grow some tomatoes, you sell the tomatoes, you scale your operation. Pretty soon you're running acres of tomatoes." Like, you just invented farming.
Yeah.
It is like, farming is not a side gig that can be easily done. It's not like shrimp. It's not like farming shrimp.
No, I mean, if you really wanted to be inventive, what you would do is you would build like a little countertop, like Minecraft redstone machine, but in real life, where it senses when the tomato is fully grown, and then it just clips the tomato and neatly deposits it in the tomato thing, and then, you know, you have a few little plants or whatever. And then the idea isn't that, like, "Oh, I'm gonna scale my operation, make $1 billion. It's, now I don't have to buy tomatoes or take care of my plants, you know?
Yeah. It is tough to find those hoppers, though. I feel like they don't work quite as well in real life as they do in Minecraft.
The whole hopper
probably works a lot
thing.
Better if you're growing weed, I think. I think that's probably the thing. Like, what else can you grow in your home and actually make money off of unless you're doing extra stuff like pickling? Like, if you're growing, like, peppers in your backyard, I mean, that's not really a cash crop unless you're pickling. Then you get into a whole branding conversation. Then you're, like, marketing a product. Then it's no longer a side job. It's just a job.
No, it's not fun anymore either. That's the thing. That's why I'm thinking about like more of the convenience angle. Like, it doesn't even necessarily have to be farming. Like, countertop appliances have always fascinated me because it seems like we haven't been able to think of a new one in a while. Like, everyone that comes out is just a new kind of blender, pretty much.
Juicer,
grinder, those various things. And it's like the last great innovations in labor-saving technology, honestly, were probably the toaster and the coffee machine.
Oh, speaking of countertop appliances that are fucking useless, I received, and it's not actually useless because it's kind of cool, I received a egg bite maker for Christmas.
okay.
I have used it a couple times. It gets really hot. So it's kind of like the Arrested Development thing where it's like the fryer that causes everybody to get burned. I've burned myself many times on this egg bite maker. It's literally just like a tiny George Foreman grill. You put little silicone cups that don't melt and you fill them with egg and then you put water around them and it steams the egg in little cups. And then you open it up and you have egg bites. But also, like, you're reaching into basically a clamshell that is boiling hot, full of steam. It's quite dangerous.
You need some food safe plastic tongs, my friend. That's the way you need to be handling this.
It does make a fairly good egg bite, though.
See, that's what I was wondering, because I've been given so many fucking egg gadgets over the years. I feel like Americans are just like terrified of cooking eggs. And so like we come up with all of these, like, microwave a hard boiled egg, bake a poached egg, like, you know.
Oh yeah, those were really ballsy. Those like little egg cups where it's just like a plastic cup that just like put it in the microwave, nuke the egg. And it's like, couldn't you just put it in something else? You need like a special thing just to put an egg in.
Well, and also like cooking eggs isn't that fucking hard. I don't know if it's just because like my dad was a cook and spent a lot of time teaching me how to cook. He wasn't like a chef or anything. He's just a guy.
You can't beat just an egg scrambled in butter. Like, you can't beat it. People have been trying to beat it for, well, you generally want to beat it. A little bit.
Yeah. Get some air in there.
But you can't win against it.
Well, you don't have to beat it, but you have to aerate it somehow.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I watch a lot of videos, you know, cooking videos and stuff, because I like to try to up my game in the kitchen, rise and grind. Mm-hmm. But the omelet videos are the ones that fascinate me, because they're like, some of them are really good. Like, I've learned how to make the traditional French omelet. I've learned how to make like the Chinese style omelet where you like whip it around really fast and cook it super hot, and it makes like a very, very fluffy, slightly crispy on the edges kind of omelet. That's really good. But there's only like 3-4 kinds of omelets. So then like you start seeing these TikTok omelet recipes, and they're like, make sure to whisk it vigorously, put it through a strainer. Now we'll start chopping our shallots. And I'm like, come on, man. My omelet, the omelet I wanted to eat would have been done 3.5 minutes ago. And this is a 4-minute
video. This motherfucker up at 6 a.m. chopping shallots.
waking up 40 minutes early to do prep and mise en place for my omelet.
You're just passing out at your desk at work, and someone's like, oh, hey, late night? And you're like, no, early morning. I was chopping shallots.
So,
don't you see the tears?
This is all making me think we should just do a whole episode about side gigs, life hacks, shit you can do on the side. And I have two really good ones.
Okay.
That I want, one classic that's been around for a while, and one new one that is actually doable, and I recommend anybody listening to this could try it out.
So you, the first one is, of course, put it in the ground.
The first one is, of course, the shrimp green text. It's an old post from 4chan with two giant swimming pool size swimming pools full of shrimp farming equipment in the image, and it says, imagine still playing such small ball. You retards don't deserve this, but let me know when you want to take the training wheels off and make real money. Indoor shrimp farming. It's like being able to scoop gold right out of a kiddie pool. It's multiplying your money by 100. Aquaponics is the fucking future, even more than blockchain. Self-production. And forget dropship retards who are just glorified middlemen. If you actually shrimp farm, there is no replacing you. Wholesale is 100x. Sale right to restaurants, 10,000x, especially if you're a landlocked state. Fresh seafood is literally gold. And best part, I bought all of the equipment right from a Chinese seller for Tether, which is a crypto.
I love, one, better than blockchain. Hard to argue with that. Aquaponics and being self-sustainable is better than blockchain, especially if you look at what the fucking crypto market's doing now. Bitcoin is down like 25% in 5 days.
I wouldn't know. I'm not looking what the crypto market's doing now.
Yeah, but
I simply
also
do not see it.
I also love the idea of being like, do you live in a landlocked state? Grow shrimp. Live in Arizona? Shrimp are like bars of liquid gold. It's like, do you live in Alaska? Turn your bathtub into a cranberry bog.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very easy in a hot desert like Arizona to just transport shrimp to a restaurant. Lots of restaurants that are dying for fresh shrimp that some weirdo grew in his backyard.
Yeah, and like, you have to get all kinds of like certifications and stuff if you're like, if you're harvesting or growing things to be used for food. Like the fucking milk place that I fill the vending machines at has all of their milk dealer licenses up on one of the walls as you walk into the building, and they have one for like every state, Washington DC, Puerto Rico. And I'm like, okay, one, do they all need to be displayed prominently? Is that like the law, or was this just a display you put up?
Hey, for for a milk dealer, that's his diploma right there. All right.
Yeah. you don't understand. This is actually my degree. My name is Milk Dealer. I'm a doctor. Dr. Milk. Dr. Dealer.
Please. Mr. Dealer is my father.
But yeah, the shrimp thing is insane. I love I think some of the best copypastas and like 4chan screen caps and stuff are all just like wacky ideas for how to make or save money. I'm reminded of like Operation Soda Steal, which is always in my heart. I fucking love Operation Soda Steal. Or the guy who thinks he invented farming, put a tomato slice in the ground, whatever. Mm. Although I'm gonna be honest with you, the first time I saw that put a tomato slice in the ground thing, I had to look up, can you just put a tomato slice in the ground and it will grow? And the answer is surprisingly, yes, of course.
Interesting.
I was like, I thought that was just potatoes. Honestly, mm-hmm. I thought only potatoes did that.
There's also those like memes where it's just like you take like the bottom of a lettuce head and put it in water and then like a new kind of lettuce grows up. People are like, look at this. Infinite lettuce.
Free lettuce. It's infinite lettuce. Yeah.
It does technically work, although it's like, I don't know how many nutrients you're left with if it's just like tap water and not some soil. You know, it's like, it's got to pull the nutrients from somewhere.
Yeah, there's got to be a dimension to that after a while is kind of like Hal from Malcolm in the Middle filtering out the orange juice by just adding water all the time so he doesn't have to buy orange juice. And then eventually he's just drinking water out of an orange juice cart.
I got another life hack for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
This one is in the context of basically like, I would say 70 to 75% of all tech jobs right now are basically you sit around and answer emails and receive trickle-down Saudi oil money. That's like 70 to 75% at the very least of tech jobs in the world right now. So bearing that in mind, this life hack comes to us from a Twitter user. Number one. Take a free mobile developer course about 2 months and learn just enough to get past the developer job interview. Number two, get 12 tech startup jobs. Number three, don't do any work, get paid for 1 month from 12 companies and then get fired for doing no work, collect 1 year's salary for doing nothing, and repeat every year.
A little bit labor intensive, but like honestly that one I feel like could work because it's like you said, you're basically dealing in the realm of like made up money and like trickle down Saudi oil money, so you have to be good at like tricking people, but if you can just put yourself in the shoes of a dumb person deciding who to hire and like act like a smart person, I think you could make it work.
Well, wasn't there like an article from a while ago that, well, okay, one, it is a lot of work, but is it more work than actually doing a job all year? Probably not.
Yeah, true.
And two,
you gotta do a cost benefit there.
Yeah. And then two, there were some articles that were making the rounds. I think this was about last year where people were saying like, with work from home, I suspect that my employees may also be working for other employers. And so you basically get paid for 2 40-hour days concurrently and you kind of give each job 30% of your attention. And I've always thought like that's a great system.
Literally everybody should absolutely be doing that. There is no reason that you shouldn't. Like I seriously advocate for this. Like I'm not just bringing up this this post because I think it's funny. Like if you could do the thing where you just get the job, don't work, get fired, collect like the first paycheck. I mean, you know, if you have social engineering skills and you're really lazy, but you're good at interviews, you could do that. More realistically, like just go take a free online course on like coding in React or JavaScript. You know, watch some YouTube tutorials. Just apply on LinkedIn. And you will eventually land like a junior dev role. Even if you can't do it, if you're good at interviews and you can do like the most basic level of social engineering. Then once you have that going on, you keep looking for jobs. You give them each, I wouldn't even give them 30% job. Give them like 15%, 20%.
Yeah.
Because everybody else at those jobs is doing the exact same thing you do. So if you set the bar too high, your coworker's going to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You just give them like 15% of your effort. And then if you get fired from one, it's fine. You're collecting six other paychecks.
I remember there was a guy who, I think he had sort of like, he worked at some kind of job like that and had figured out how to automate most of it, or like, you know, he'd gotten it down so he didn't have that much to do. And then he ended up like hiring a guy in India or some other country where he could pay him cheaply to do the small amount of work that he had, and then just had like, no work to do at all. And I think he eventually got fired because he made a Reddit post about it and his like bosses found out. But it's like, wouldn't you want to promote that guy, honestly? Like a guy who figured out how to take, I guess the problem is that like his salary depends on his bosses assuming this job takes like 40 hours a week and whatever, right, you know, salary he was making. And they're like, hey, wait a minute, a guy in India could do this job for like five times less. Why don't we just hire that guy?
Well, yeah, you always have to be, if you want to do the overemployed thing, which, you know, I shouldn't even be telling you guys about this, but there is a whole subreddit devoted to taking on as many jobs as you can and giving them just the bare amount of effort to collect multiple paychecks because fuck employers. But if you want to do that, you do have to kind of, it's a numbers game because you're always at risk of being fired from one or the other.
Right.
If you have multiple jobs. So really like having multiple jobs, putting in the minimum effort, you're hedging your bets because the more you have, the less likely you're going to get fired from all of them at once.
Mm-hmm. And then you're also, you know, you're spending 3 or 4 hours each day just doing LinkedIn management, making sure that employers can't tell each other that you're the guy who's been collecting paychecks and doing nothing.
You have to keep
updating your profile name, pretending you got your degree from different places. Oh, I went to Cornell. No, I went to Dartmouth. Oh, I went to MIT. I'm sorry, I went to Texas Tech. Like,
I mean, well, I feel like if you wanted to lie and say you got your degree in something that you either didn't get a degree in or didn't get a degree at all, wouldn't you want to lie and say you got one from like a mid-tier college? Like, I feel like if you lied and said you got a degree from an Ivy, they might look into that. But like if you just said like a mid-tier but like has a decent reputation school, they're just going to be like, yeah, he probably went there.
yeah, I went to Penn State. I went to U of M, something like that. You don't even say which M. It could be Michigan, Montana, Maine. It doesn't matter.
Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good scam. I mean, everybody lies to some degree on their resume and in job interviews. I lie a lot. You know, I wasn't ready to do this job, but I wanted $3 more an hour than I was making previously, and I got it. And actually, I've been looking around on Indeed, and I'm thinking I might go for another three.
You absolutely should. Yeah, I mean, like I've long said on the show, you owe your employer nothing. And in this age where more and more jobs are going fully remote, if you can, get a second job. Like, you should have no moral qualms with maxing out your income because all of your employer is constantly looking for ways to screw you. Right. So there's nothing wrong with screwing them a little bit right back.
Well, I think you're right in highlighting that you should walk right past the perceived morality issue in like fucking around your employer, because like that moral quandary that's kind of been baked into all of our fucking brains is absolute nonsense, like you're saying. But it's really hard to overcome. Like when you're at work or at an interview and you're in the moment, you're still reflexively responding in the ways that you've been conditioned to. I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of a work situation and been like, God, I can't believe I was such a stupid little pushover and I just like behaved the way I was expected to, because like you can know that there's a better way to handle it, and it still doesn't necessarily always help you do it in the moment, and it's really horrifying sometimes. But speaking of horrifying, did you guys see the most recent Mike Cernovich tweet?
No, lay it on me.
yeah, I think I saw this one.
Okay, so some guy, Rams Paul, some verified guy I've never heard of. Asks,
Rams Paul?
Rams like, Paul. Yeah, not like Rand's Rand Paul.
Brother. Paul is like the guy who really likes sports in the Paul family.
It looks like he's a big conservative guy because he's in Cernovich's replies, and he's also retweeting tweets that say like, yes, the White House is encouraging mobs to commit a felony in order to intimidate another branch of government. No,
that sounds badass.
I wish it was true. But anyway, so this guy asks Mike Cernovich, he says, favorite horror movie? And then Cernovich quote tweets and he says, I don't watch horror or listen to, quote, metal. I truly believes it opens demonic portals via a spirit of fear. I even stopped listening to hip hop and most secular music.
That's actually the reason that I listen to those genres and watch those movies, because it does open up a portal to another world where demons can escape and you can hang out with the demons and smoke weed with them. And also they're chill and they're my friends.
It's just so funny to me that he's like unironically tweeting like it opens demonic portals. Like if I had to write a tweet that was a parody of people who were overzealous like Christian conservatives, I couldn't come up with a better arrangement of words than I even stopped listening to hip hop and most secular music.
Yeah, I love that it's like with each iteration, like the further he goes in that tweet, the like less frightening the stuff is, because it's like some people are like, I don't really like watching horror movies, they're too scary. Almost nobody is like metal is too scary. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to hip hop, which is like, if it's not like horror core or death grips, how is it even scary at all? It's just pop music. Yeah. And then he goes to secular music. So it's like this motherfucker hears Adele or something, and he's like, oh my God, get this off. I'm so afraid. Demons are coming.
Losing my mind because someone put Devo on the jukebox.
Cernovich like read too many Rod Dreher articles and then accidentally walked past, not even into, but past a Sephora where they were playing Carly Rae Jepsen and had a meltdown.
Yeah, he was like Nietzsche seeing the horse being whipped in terrain and his last two brain cells just drifted apart forever.
Yes.
Speaking of Devo, did you guys see that like tweet thread recently about Devo 2.0? It was like this thing where Disney wanted to have like kids perform Devo songs, and then like sort of at the last minute they were like, wait a minute, we have to like change the lyrics to these aren't appropriate for kids. And Devo was like, did you not like listen to them? They have a song called Beautiful World where it's like, it's a beautiful world but not for me. And then they were like, can the kids say it's a beautiful world and it's for me instead?
And what's his name from Devo was probably just like, no.
They're literally doing the Simpsons bit where they ask the Red Hot Chili Peppers to sing like different lyrics instead of
it's Mark and Bob Mother's Baugh. I didn't know they were brothers. I thought the Devo guys were just like two very from Ohio dudes, but it turns out they're brothers.
They're brothers from Ohio.
Two brothers.
Much like the National.
Much like the National. Still don't know what that fucking band is.
Oh, dude, you would love you might not like it. That, see, that people. No. I'm saying that facetiously because people think you would love the National love to say, dude, you'd probably like the National. It's that band. It's that band that you get recommended. Ever listen to? See, they probably suck.
That's the thing about them is every time someone's mentioned them, they've always said it in a way that says like, I think, judging from your sensibilities, you would find this band inoffensive and pleasing. And I don't want to listen to music that's generally inoffensive. I only want to listen to things that feel extremely transgressive and make me furious.
I will never listen to the National. I will never listen to the Black Keys. I will never listen to Radiohead. I will never really? I won't do it. I
never listen to you've listened to Radiohead. Come on.
I'm calling bullshit. Yeah, I agree with Chris.
You've listened to Kid A before or like
Radiohead is just Coldplay. They're the same band.
I remember
Coldplay
when
used to be kind of good.
Yeah, I got to give it up for Coldplay. They were good until who was Brian Eno stopped producing them, basically. Same exact story as U2, where Brian Eno produced them, and then Brian Eno was like, hey, these guys Coldplay, they're like U2 with a piano, and then he produced them for a while.
Did you guys see the video of U2 performing in like a tunnel in Ukraine?
Oh yeah.
Oh my fucking God, dude.
Bono is one of the most insane dudes ever because like he really cemented his status as like the activist musician guy back in the day. And so now like every time there's a global crisis, all of a sudden he's next to heads of state walking around with like the Chancellor of Germany and the President of the United States. Like, yeah, I really think that Putin should end the war. I don't even know what Bono sounds like. He's Irish, right? Like,
I have no idea. I think he kind of does sound like that. He just said, yeah, I don't understand how you've like managed to trick people into thinking that it's like worth having you there. I guess you give money to like the right NGOs or charities or whatever enough that they're like, we've got to invite Bono. He's going to get a lot of eyes on the situation. Well,
and I think U2 in a lot of ways was like the original very corporate friendly rock, right? Like, so probably back when all of these tech companies were first getting really big, the dot-com bubble was either happening or just ended. That was around the same time that like U2 was going from being like a commercial success to one of the most annoying installations in the archive of American pop culture. And that's the exact right moment to start playing corporate gigs where you get paid $40,000 to walk out on stage, play your one hit song two times in 3 hours and go home.
Yeah, there was that like right around when iTunes became a big thing and the iPod and stuff, you had like the U2 album was free on iTunes for like a week or something. And then there was special, the red iPod that
U2 album showed up on my computer again like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I thought I got rid of you like a decade ago.
Right, it gets so much, it got so much worse when it reached the point where it just like put it on your phone or computer without even asking you. It's like
that
a pop-up ad but for music.
Well, I was like so mad about that, and then I was like, my favorite musicians will never betray me. And then Windows XP came out, and it came with Like Humans Do by David Byrne pre-installed on it, along with like,
I remember that song.
A fucking like teaser demo for Oddworld, I think, that I spent a lot of time playing, just the demo.
Oh, and the pinball game. The man, 3D space pinball? Fucking good at 3D space pinball on Windows XP. Yeah. I wonder if you can get that, like, I wonder if there's a remastered version. That would be sick. Yeah.
Windows XP was like the last great era of game suites built into the operating system. Like, you still had Solitaire, Spider Solitaire, Minesweeper, and a few others. They had gotten rid of, though, some of the really, really early ones. Like, you couldn't play Ski Free anymore, I think, when Windows XP came out. They got rid of Ski Free. And there was one other one that they got rid of as well. And then I don't know if it was in the next generation, because or the one after that, because the generation after XP was insane. It was like... Was it
Vista?
XP? Because there was that era where there was like Windows 2000, Windows ME, and Windows NT all out at the same time.
And yeah.
I don't remember exactly what operating systems that came in between. I just remember thinking to myself, just release one.
Yeah. Well, ME, I remember being the one that everybody made fun of for being bad.
Yes.
And then XP was installed on basically every computer in every like school, like every office, every like DMV, basically every library. Until like the end of like, there are still those computers still kicking, and they've only just gotten around to upgrading them.
Yeah, which is insane, because like the colorful room full of Emacs my school had when I was in elementary school are assuredly all in dumpsters by now. Or
they have to be. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I remember those. It was always so weird when you had like computer class as a kid in school, because like looking back, basically they were teaching you like, okay, here's how you open a file. Here's how you save a file. Here's how you use the mouse. It's real basic shit.
I got in trouble because I used the console to like send messages to other computers in the computer lab.
Yeah.
I don't even remember how I did that. I remember showing up in the principal's office and they're like, can you show our IT guy how you did this? Because he doesn't know.
It's so fun because kids will catch on to that shit so quick. Like, I remember being in computer class, like you were saying, Chris, and our teacher's probably teaching us how to like... open recent files or something. Yeah. And most of the kids in class have already figured out how to like sideload games onto the computers and are actively playing games already. But that's like the other thing. Like when I was in middle school, when I went to elementary school, from elementary school to middle school, something really cool happened, which is that I went to a school, it was the same school district, but the middle school had Windows machines instead of Apple machines. Mm-hmm. And the tech guys who ran the whole school district were much better at Apple machines than they were at Windows machines. So instead of uninstalling or blocking programs that they maybe didn't want us to use on the Windows machines, they would do things like remove the desktop shortcut. Well, that's not going to fucking stop me. You got to make it so I can't click on this shit. I figured out ways to click on it, and I'd end up in like AOL chat rooms. This was back in the like thriving days of AOL chat rooms, and that was the first place I saw like names that were in languages that were not English. Like, you show up in a chat room and you're like, hello, I'm in middle school, how's it going? And a guy whose name is just 18 Cyrillic characters is like, hello, child, how are you?
Let me teach you about communism.
Yeah.
There were no kids with weird names in your school?
Oh, I mean, there were kids with weird names in my school, but there weren't kids who knew how to type special characters into the computer.
Sure, so. Sure. That's a much better skill, much higher skill.
Yeah, we had all English language keyboards. But yeah, I guess if we want to actually talk about something that happened recently, I brought up on the bonus episode, I believe, that human remains were discovered at Lake Mead because the water level had sunk to a very, very low level. And I just wanted to bring up that they found more yesterday. And it seems like, and this is just me trusting my gut here, they're going to keep finding them.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, once the water levels start receding, because wasn't that like a favorite mob dumping ground?
Yeah, it's close to Las Vegas, and it's close to like where four state borders all meet. So you have to imagine that people committing crimes in all four of those states are like, where are we going to take the body, Tony? Well, up to Lake Mead, of course. They never dredge Lake Mead.
Yeah. What, like the water level recedes like 3 inches, and you find like just a mass grave of like 40 guys who said something bad about Frank Sinatra in 1952.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, I know logically that this is a reservoir and they probably like treat the water and like do all kinds of stuff to it before it comes out of your sink, but it's gotta feel weird if this is where the water that you drink comes from is, and you're like, oh, another dead body has been sitting in there for decades and this is the water I've been drinking my whole life.
Right. Cool.
It depends how you look at it. Sometimes you see the glasses half empty of dead bodies, and sometimes you see the glasses half full of dead bodies.
Speaking of putting spin on things, I wanted to talk about a little story that I saw written by a guy named Cory Doctorow, who's a writer, blogger, and activist. This is just on his like little Medium sub page. It's kind of like a Substack or something like that, mm-hmm. I suppose. And he wrote a story about how CNN has been reporting that Russian looters, which have been supposedly collaborating with the Russian military, have been stealing pieces of John Deere farm equipment from a dealership mm-hmm. in Melitopol in Ukraine. And they've stolen up to 27 pieces, collectively valued at what the company is saying is $5 million, and then shipping the equipment out to Chechnya. And then, like, the big reveal, the big thing CNN is really proud to be bringing you is that these tractors have been completely bricked remotely by the John Deere Corporation. So this is supposed to be like a gotcha. John Deere said no to Putin. You can't have $5 million worth of tractors in Chechnya. Fuck you. But that what's getting glossed over here, and what Cory Doctorow so presciently brings up, is that that feature was not installed so that if your tractors are spoils of war, they can be bricked. That feature was installed so that if American farmers try to repair their own farm equipment that they've bought and paid for, the company can say no and make them completely unusable to them.
Well, what if they were going to look, you can't guarantee that the John Deere tractor that you bought and paid for is going to get repaired correctly. You have to go to the dealership and pay like 5 times more than just having your buddy do it over beers.
Yeah, well, and like, you don't just have to pay the dealership to repair your tractor. You also have to pay the dealership to use the sensors on your tractor. So John Deere installed sensors on a lot of these tractors that are like torque sensors on the wheels that measure soil density, humidity sensors on undercarriages that measure soil moisture, and location sensors on the roof that plot density and moisture on a centimeter accurate grid. But you can't just plug your phone into your tractor and get that data. If you want to practice what John Deere is calling precision agriculture, you have to go to John Deere and pay, I think it's a monthly fee, to access your own tractor data. So
that's
even
insane.
If you do own the tractor, you're still giving John Deere X fucking amount of dollars every month just to make sure that your seeds are correctly spaced when you plant your fields.
Motherfuckers figured out a way to put always online DRM into a tractor. The most like low tech type of technology you can imagine. Just like a piece of farm equipment suddenly is like connected to the internet and charges a monthly fee to your fucking Cash App account now.
Yeah, they're turning it into
in
a fucking
iPhones,
Spotify account.
It's in cars. Yeah. It's in computers. It's in all sorts of shit. And like some states in the country have tried to pass laws that institute right to repair. But then these companies, and I'm skipping ahead in this article because this article is really fascinating, John. But some of these companies will invest millions of dollars into ad campaigns to try and convince that there's a ballot measure that, you know, people are voting on that, if you don't let us lock you out of repairing your own car, it'll kill you. You're going to die. Like,
yeah,
it's insane.
They want to make it seem like unsafe. And then meanwhile, just like the automotive industry has been using this technology for a long time, they're also collecting data on you. So like if you have a car that's modern enough to have a computer in it, say from like the last 10 years, your car is literally collecting travel data on you and reporting that back to the car manufacturer, which they are assuredly both using to more accurately target, you know, cars and other products to you in the future, but also selling to other advertisers, you know? So if you're wondering like, why am I getting ads for a movie theater after I drove there? I didn't even bring my phone with me. Your car is your phone, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why I drive like a 30-year-old car, truck, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and I encourage you all to do the same. Like if cars keep getting shittier and shittier, packed with more useless technology, packed with more stuff to go wrong, and there's dirt cheap shit boxes out there that you can fix in your driveway that can't get fucking bricked by the government when they decide they don't like something you did, or bricked by the company that made it when they decide that you haven't paid them enough money at their dealership. Like, it just makes more sense. I know not everybody can do that. But yeah, I encourage, I mean, and that's part of why Cash for Clunkers was like a slap in the face to the American working class. Cause all of a sudden a lot of cars that were destroyed from that, like they weren't junk, you know, a working class family could have gotten 100,000 miles out of some of these cars, and they just got destroyed because the Obama administration was like, yep, get those old cars out of circulation, get into a high interest loan with a bank, and get a new shitty car that's built to be disposable every 6 years.
No, I'm going the other way. I want a car where all I got to do when I get up in the morning and I'm ready to go to work, I slip my ass into the driver's seat, I pull the emergency brake so it's no longer engaged, gently slide both my feet through the floor of the car, and Fred Flintstone my way to my job. No
Hopefully
computer necessary. This thing runs on 2 ankle power.
No need to go to the gas station. You fuel it up with bananas and protein shakes.
Yeah, I go to the gas station, but just for cheap hot dogs to keep myself fueled. They're much cheaper than gas.
My 1/5 of a horsepower car that runs on me.
Yeah. Imagine like there's a zombie apocalypse and you're the only person in your neighborhood in San Francisco to survive because everyone else's car gets bricked when like the power grid goes down and the Tesla factory goes offline, but your old car still runs and like no one else is using gas, so you can hog it all.
It's like you're rocking a pedal pub, but the equivalent, and everybody's drunk who's pedaling, but they're pedaling well, but you need some boost. So instead of nitrous, you just switch the tap to Bang energy drink. And then everybody starts pedaling real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of something you'd want to pedal fast away from, have you guys heard about these crypto muggings that they've been having in London recently?
I saw like a
Dude,
headline about that.
Don't give away
that.
My newest money-making scheme. I've stolen so many apes. You have no idea.
Well, that's the crazy thing is I think most of the apes that have been stolen have just been stolen like through normal digital phishing scams and stuff. But it seems like in London, guys are literally walking up to people that they've done research on and figured out have money in crypto, and then they're just doing regular muggings to make them open their phone and transfer the crypto assets, sometimes making these guys like lose tens of thousands of dollars or pounds, I suppose. And one of the victims said that he was throwing a third victim said he had been vomiting under a bridge when a mugger forced him to unlock his phone using a fingerprint, then changed his security settings and stole 28,700 pounds, including cryptocurrency.
Owned. Absolutely owned. Take the L.
All my apes gone. Please help. I'm vomiting.
Don't have a fingerprint login on your phone if like you have lots of money involved in your phone somehow. Like especially like if I would be just as worried about like cops arresting you and taking it. Because like can't cops sometimes like they've definitely argued that like taking your finger and putting it on your phone to open it is like fair game if they've arrested you, even though like if they don't have the passcode to your phone, they definitely can't get into it.
This is why you shouldn't have Face ID enabled if you're definitely going to do illegal shit.
Yeah. I'm
really stoked that the crypto market is crashing because I sold like 70% of my crypto last week.
Crashing, right? Someone saw you sell yours and then they're like, oh, I got to sell mine.
I dumped the whole market. I'm responsible. You are all welcome.
What I don't understand is how does selling make the market tank? You have to sell to someone. There's someone buying at the same time. It seems like every transaction should have a net zero effect on the market. So the value of Bitcoin should always be one.
That's the beauty of crypto. Well, yeah, one Bitcoin always equals one Bitcoin. But the beauty of crypto is there's always somebody dumber than you who will buy your shitty shit.
There's always been someone dumber than you, and it hasn't made me any fucking money.
Isn't that the rule of the whole economy?
Yeah,
right? There's always somebody dumber than you.
I got to start getting on my grift and just putting vending machines places where nobody asked for one. I figure if I buy 50 and I install them at rest stations all around Michigan that are barely maintained by the failing state government that we've had for the last few decades, that is basically just the Calvinist church in a trench coat. I wonder how many of them would get taken away and if they would be able to trace them back to me. Or better yet, what if I just put up like an honesty box and just like take a bag of Doritos, leave a dollar.
Yeah, I have to wonder how often people are even investigating.
Yeah,
like what's the lead time of like someone discovering a vending machine that they don't think should be there to like anyone actually like who's investigating this? Like the state police of Michigan, like
right.
The sheriff of that town, like he's got shit he wants to do that's not like check a vending machine's tag.
Well, yeah, well, like right. What I would do too. Probably. Okay, so a lot of the vending machines have displays on them and you can put a custom message in the display. Often it's like, get a drink or snack here, but also often it'll say like, this machine serviced by such and such vending machine company. Mm. All I have to do is look up who the local vending machine companies are for each region of Michigan and then just program my machines and copy the stickers and everything so that it looks like it's serviced by that company. And
that's brilliant.
If I could even go as far is figuring out how to get a similar looking uniform to each company for each region.
Yeah. Oh man, that's getting real. That's reminding me of those stories where it's like a guy who is like everyone thought worked at like the parking lot, ticket booth at a parking lot. Yeah, and then it's like he disappeared and it turns out it was a free parking lot the whole time and no one noticed and he just like created a job, pocketed all the money and then fled.
Incredible. I mean, that's the beauty of capitalism. It's like, job creator, you just have to scam people that are dumber than you.
Just create your own job out of thin air.
That's
like, I got to tell you, like,
are these vending machines keyed alike?
they're keyed regionally.
Okay.
So the Muskegon keys don't work in Grand Rapids, so to speak. But like that's the thing is it's like, I think that guy who supposedly sold those parking spaces was supposed to be at like Walt Disney World or Disneyland. And then the Disney company was like, this never happened. There was never any guy. But
Really?
You got to think people don't just come up with that story because like they thought of it. Somebody did that. Even if it was just like outside of like a church movie night in a small town in Iowa, that happened somewhere at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I guess like the decades long or years long scam would be a lot harder to pull off because after like a month or two, someone would like look into it. But for one night or like one weekend, absolutely someone could pull that off very easily.
When I worked parking downtown, like we had our designated lots and everything, but I had seen guys who were obviously not working for a parking company just guide people up onto the sidewalk where they're obviously going to get ticketed, take their money and leave.
It's a solid move. King shit. Yeah.
And I'm like, that car is definitely getting towed or ticketed.
Yeah. Look, if somebody has more money than you, you can always scam them. It's never morally incorrect.
Yeah, and better yet, scam them in an Italian accent. It's never
racist.
Yeah, because
then the racism doesn't get directed at you, it's directed at the Italians. It's the perfect crime.
Yeah, and they'll be looking for an Italian guy, so you'll be scot-free. Just make sure to take a shower so they're not like, the guy looks kind of greasy. Could be he be the guy we're looking for? No, he's showered too recently.
Yeah, make sure you don't smell like meatballs.
You got to smell good. You got to have. What are the morals of today's episode? You got to smell good. You got to have lots of side hustles.
Yep.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission. Mm-hmm. If you can, get a uniform that looks like a guy who's supposed to be there. Mm-hmm.
You have to scam people with more money than you.
Scam people with more money than you. And Lake Mead is no longer fair game for dumping corpses.
Yeah, find somewhere else.
But don't take any of my hiding spots.
That's right.
I just want to hammer home a point that you made about the tractors. In Australia, they're working on a bill right now that will drastically limit. The right-wing talking point is that it's going to prohibit people from growing their own food. But in reality, it really just drastically limits, you know, just ordinary people from growing their own food. Mm-hmm. And it's supposedly about biosecurity. It's supposedly about like, oh, you know, there could be like a health issue. But what it really is like the government trying to clamp down on the food supply amid an inflation and commodities crisis.
Yeah.
So I really see a big connection with that and these remote tractor cutoff switches. Like if say you run a farm. Like a farm co-op and you mm-hmm. like just share, you know, what you get out of the farm with the workers. If the government doesn't like that, or if you're not like paying the piper of the government enough, or paying a giant corporation for seed fees or whatever, because those are real and they do that.
Yep.
They'll just shut off your farm equipment.
Well,
right. That's their plan. That's what they want to be able to do.
Yeah, they get mad when you leave a fucking industry. They get fucking furious, you know? Australians are probably facing just as many price hikes as anybody else, and a bunch of them got together and they're like, fuck you, mate. We're going to grow our own tomatoes. I'm not paying they use a dollar? I think it's the Australian dollar. I'm not paying $5 for a tomato. And then the government comes in and they're like, you're paying $5 somehow, whether it's for a tomato or to plant the tomato or whatever. You're paying $5.
We're going to patent the word tomato somehow. Some way, if you speak the name tomato, you owe us money.
the prime minister is like on TV, I don't even want to see you saying tomato.
Man, your Australian accent's really good.
Yeah, it's nice.
Thank you.
I'm smelling a side hustle coming where it's Bite by Bladus, the Australian communist podcast. I'm not John, am I? I'm someone else. I'm a different bloke. New Patreon, look, new grift.
We're coming to you from New South Wales. I just saw a kanga. Just saw a kanga outside the Maccas. That's a public health crisis.
Andy was
you guys see
mid?
Within the last hour, both Elon Musk and Jack Dorsey have come out and said they would reinstate Donald Trump's Twitter account if Elon's bid to buy Twitter goes through.
I did see that.
Fucking idiots who are rich and famous backing other fucking idiots who are rich and famous.
I have never wanted anything more. Unleash Trump. What will he post about? Will he rip on Rosie O'Donnell? Will he will he post another Cove Fefe banger? I don't know. But I know it's going to be entertaining.
You know, it's just going to come out of left field. It's never going to be what you expect. People are going to be like, he's going to comment on Pelosi. He's going to comment on Ukraine. And then they let him back on Twitter and he's like, Dick's Sporting Goods, terrible store.
Yeah, He's right, though. Dick's Sporting Goods is a terrible store. Nobody should go there. Because of their shoes and shirt policy. I have a bit of a bone to pick with them, but that's a story for another time.
Look, I got fish to catch. I can't be putting on shoes and a shirt.
Yeah,
put on the hat and that's it. I need to protect my body from the sun, but my feet are fine. I lost those a long time ago.
Hobbit feet, dude. Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's the episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you all so much for supporting us on Patreon. If you do, if you don't, no hard feelings. You'll get there. Get in the Discord if you're not already. Listen to my other show, Work Stoppage. Check out Chris on the Twitch, twitch.tv/beep beep lettuce pod. And as always, stay doinked out there. We love you.
Beep on, y'all.
Peace out.